traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. And on today's program, we're going to start from the get-go and go throughout the year bringing you news and results of horse shows, horse racing, documentaries, you name it. If it's in the horse business, we're going to talk about it. And to start off this year, we were going to be with you last week, but I had some logistic problems that we couldn't correct. And so now this is we'll be live every Thursday at 1 o'clock from here on out for the rest of the year. Back to what we're talking about, the equestrian industry is very unique. Like the horse itself, the equestrian industry is a creature of habits. From the employees to the horses to the shows and everything that are being conducted, in the horse business. And if a horse is used to getting fed at 4:30 in the morning, then you need to feed them at 4:30 in the morning. So all the responsibility in the organization comes back to the owners and the trainers and the grooms and the jockeys and all the riders. And also, what we'd like to talk about today is organizing your equestrian life. You know pretty much what shows you go to, what races and what training and your training schedule is and, things of that nature. And so it's good to sit down with a notepad and just kind of go through your day hour by hour on what you do and how you do it. And not just to say just one day, but you need to go through the whole week of what your week's going to look like, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, from when you feed your horses or train your horses. Go through the day and then go to bed. It's always getting up and going to bed in the industry. There's no in between. It's just get up, go to bed, go to work, go to bed. That type of thing. But what we try to do, here at International Equine Network is very important to us. We have a list of things that we need to deal with. The things that we need to deal with or organizational items, such as we'll take for example here quarter time. That's our quarter horse show that we do here on IEN. It's all about AQHA, and what we're looking at AQHA. If you go to their website, it's one of the fantastic, most fantastic websites you'll ever see. You can find out any and everything you need to know about AQHA. And what we do is if we're involved with any horse in any discipline, we go to that website of that organization. And, for example, at AQHA, you can go ahead and print out. They have their mailing address, which is AQHA, Post Office Box 200, Amarillo, Texas, 79168. And then they have an overnight mailing, which is crucial to the horseman. If you have an overnight mailing address, then you need to also write that down. So that's how you start off, organizing yourself for whatever discipline you're in or whatever breed you're in. And so you go to AQHA.com, and it'll lead you into their website. And they have contact information. And this is crucial about contact information that I try to stress to most people. If you have it all on one sheet, then it saves a lot of stress and a lot of time, for what you're doing in there. So like at AQHA, they have a link to click on for registration, transfer paperwork, genetic testing, certificate corrections or duplicate certificates, stallion breeding reports, membership website, which is the one that you would originally go to. And then they have records, they have billing publications, general information, and media inquiries that they have at AQHA there. And once you get to that website and you get the contact numbers that you have, you can go ahead and just get any and every question that you might have about AQHA answered, and they'll get you in the right direction. And so that's why, you know, we're talking today, quite a bit on the show today about the organization of your equine, program in your equine business. We also have, on our website, if you go down to, there's all kinds of information here for us. If you go down to, the AAEP, veterinarian section on our website, it will connect you to the AAEP office, and you can find out any information you need to know as far as veterinarian questions would be needed from you. They can answer, they can get you in the right direction, and you don't have to go searching all over the place to get what needs to be done. That's one of the things that we're trying to do here, is try to eliminate a lot of phone calls, a lot of time, and a lot of frustration, and get you right to the right sections that we need, here. So it's going to be a hard day for you, day in and day out. That's the problem with the horse business, is they have to eat every day. And they have to be trained every day, and they have to be taken care of every day. You just can't, walk away from them, on that situation. So if you do that, organize yourself. No matter what discipline you're in, just organize yourself and get rolling with it. One of the things that we're also looking at is, for example, like on our show Quest for Equine Gold, we're going to talk with the people at U.S. Equestrian, FEI, and USEF about their programs that they have. Because there's an awful lot of show horse people here, and it's a real it's a real tough business there. It's worse than our thoroughbreds. They got a lot of things that they have to go by, more so than we do. But if you go to usequestrians.com, you will find all the information that you need there as far as forms, identification, whatever you need. The reason I'm saying, talking about Quest for Equine Gold and their organizations that we deal with, when you're shipping, as you do with all the show horses, we're looking at different things to get our horses to wherever they need to go. For example, at a U.S. Equestrian, they can help you with passport service applications, transfer forms. You have the 2021 U.S. Equestrian horse application, the 2021 U.S. Equestrian farm business recording application, which is very important to what you're doing. And most important that I suggest everybody gets to is the microchip. The microchip for all breeds is something that is very important. You need to have that done. And you can talk with your local veterinarian about, getting a microchip. And when you go to U.S. Equestrian, USEF, or FEI, they'll tell you how to register, that microchip. For your horse. The other thing that they have on their website is U.S. Equestrian Horse of the Year Award Program. It tells you what all you need to do, how you qualify a horse for Horse of the Year, and all the rules and regulations that you need to follow. The other thing is an equine transaction packet. That equine transaction packet is very, very good. It tells you everything you need to do that has anything to do with any business that you might be conducting with your horse. The next segment is age verification instructions. It tells you how you can determine the age of your horse. You register your horse from the time it's foaled till, you know, whenever you get rid of the horse. And also that's a good section there. And then they have the American Performance Horse application. It tells you everything you need to know about the American Performance Horse, what guidelines you have to follow, what everything that you have to do, you know, with your horse. And then also on their website, they have a recognized affiliate association. It tells you about all the associations that are affiliated and certified by U.S. Equestrian, FEI, and USEF. It's a great section, and when you go to that section, you click on to, well, like say, for example, the International Discipline Associations that that they're involved with is the American Vaulting Association, the United States Dressage Federation, the United States Eventing Association, the United States Hunter Jumper Association, the United States Para Equestrian Association, and U.S. Reining that they're involved with. Now, that's at the international level that they have there. So you know, that gets you to anywhere you need to go, and especially if you're going to be traveling outside the country for competition, such as the Olympics or the World Equestrian Championships, you know, anything of that nature. You know, if you go to that international section, it'll get you in the right direction on all the paperwork that you need to fill out. Recognize the national associations here in the United States. That they recognize is the American is American Hackney Horse Society, the American Morgan Horse Association, American Road Horse and Pony Association, the American Saddlebred Horse Association, American Saddle Shetland Pony Club, the Arab Horse Association, International Andalusian Horse Association, International Frisian Horse Show Association, the National Horse Show Horse Registry, Pasofino Horse Association, United States Hunter Jumper Association, Welsh Pony and Cob Society of America, and Western Dressage Association. That's quite a long list there. But the reason we're telling you about all these different disciplines, these are the ones that we're going to be covering throughout the year. And if you want to get involved with it, you know, the best thing to do is go to their websites, and where you can see, you know, what they do and all their requirements. And the whole point of what we're trying to make today is organization of your business and your daily schedule. Because like we said, horses are a creature of habit, and so are the horse people that attend to these horses and run the different farms and organizations. You know, if you get up at 7:30 every day and you're in the barn at 8, you know, then do that every day. Of course, times will vary depending on, you know, what farm and what breed you're in, and you know, that type of thing. But the whole long and short of it is get organized. You know, start out with your own resume. Start out with your farm's mission statement. Start out with your own business mission statement, and then just kind of, you know, fill in the blanks. And remember, the best thing to do is to have everything in one spot. All your email addresses for the clients that you might have, or businesses that you might deal with, such as feed companies, tack companies, you know, that type of thing, veterinarians, horse transportation, attorney, insurance. Those are all the kind of things that you need to have in one location, so you don't have to struggle, you know, to find anything. And the way you set that up is, you know, up to you. You know, but if you have all that front in front of you, it's really, you know, a good thing to deal with. They also at the U.S. Equestrian deal with the combined on an international basis. combined driving, dressage, endurance, eventing, jumping, and para-equestrian that they deal with. So, you know, if you go to U.S. Equestrian, you can click on those different organizations, and you're good to go. And the whole point of this is to get one phone number, one website address, so you're not chasing your tail, you know, to find out information. You're going right to the top, and if they don't have can't answer your question, then you need to take a look at what you're doing. Nationally, U.S. Equestrian, they deal with English pleasure, carriage pleasure driving, hunter jumper, seat equitation, the parade horse, the roadster, saddle seat, western dressage, and western reining seat equitation. And I know that's an awful lot, you know, to go after, but like I said, if you go directly to their website, some the discipline that you're involved with, you know, that really works, you know, to help you with what you're doing. We have one website that is crucial to the horseman. And this website, if you go to it, it's at USEF.org. The website is www.travel.state.gov. And what this is it connects you with U.S. embassies and consulates in Japan, or actually any country, but this is the one that I have, is in particularly for Japan, because we're dealing with some horses that'll be going to Japan here for the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo. On the website itself, it has country-specific information. So let's say you're going to France for a world championship. You just click on to the country France, and it tells you any and everything that you need to know when you're going to France. All the paperwork, you can actually print off applications for import, applications for export, you know, all the rules and regulations, not only for the horse, but for the people that are attending to the horse. You know, it also will give you access to hotels, transportation, you know, things of that nature, you know, to help make your stay and your competition a little bit easier. You know, it's a short-term deal when you go to a country. You know, it makes it tough because the travel for tourism and most other short-term purposes is still not permitted. And there will be, and there is no identification for what you may and may not do on short term, because they don't want short term, you know, people coming to visit. But if you're going for a competition, it's a whole different story. And the protocol that you have to use, how you get to and from the equine venues, you know, it's pretty strict. And when you're outside of our country, it's difficult, you know, to find out what's going on. And so that's exactly what we do. You know, we try doing all that to see what all is going on in that country. And it's all government regulated, and USEF will have people, representatives in that country that will be able to help you with everything that you're doing. And especially when it comes to, you know, the quarantine information and so forth. That makes a big difference, you know, when you go somewhere. You have to strict rules that you have to follow. And so that's what, you know, the site is good for. It tells you about quarantine information, rules, regulations. Well, for example, all travelers entering Japan, including residents and dual national citizens, are required to take a PCR test at the airport and then self-quarantine for 14 days. In some cases, travelers may be asked to quarantine at the airport facility until the results of their test are returned. During the 14-day quarantine period, travelers are not permitted to use any form of public transportation, including taxis, trains, and domestic flights. They're not allowed to do that. The COVID-19 testing that you'll have to do internationally is primarily conducted by the Japanese health officials for Japan after referral by a medical provider due to the probability or suspected COVID-19 infection. This testing is free. U.S. citizens desiring tests outside of the system can consult with a private clinic who may be able to offer the service. Private tests are expensive, and the U.S. citizens will be responsible for payment directly to the clinic. So if you can get the testing done by the government, which we suggest that you do, because it kind of conforms with their rules and regulations and their protocol to do that. Now, this is for Japan. You know, universal testing is not available, so you have to test in each country. And with the COVID-19, check whatever country, whatever state that you're traveling with your horse to, so that you can fall in line with those guidelines to see what happens. And especially like when you're traveling, if you go to the website here that we have, commercial flights, you know, you can go in on commercial flights, and public transportation is operating in Japan in most countries. That we have, that we would be going to. So our suggestion is that you go in and you contact, the first step that you would do would be going and contact, you know, our consul, our embassy here in the United States, and tell them that you're going to Japan. And, you know, what is the protocol? And they will give you the protocol, you know, from a government standpoint. And then the second step I would do is go to the association that you're associated with, such as AQHA or, you know, USAF or whatever, and ask them for assistance. And they'll start giving you the guidelines and getting you in the right direction. And the thing of it, the nice part of it is they have all the forms, they have all the information that you need right there, with, you know, one call or one click, and you can find out how to get your horse, you know, into another country. And you can also do that here in the States if you're traveling state to state. You can go to the ag department in that state and click on to equine services, and they'll tell you exactly what's required for what you're doing. So it's going to be a tough, long haul day for you to do in the long haul and in the short hauls too. But the thing that we're trying to stress now is to get properly organized, have it all, everything in one location, one binder, one, little click on your website, and that'll get you to everything. And that's the main thing, is to eliminate some of that stress by getting very organized of what you're doing. You know, with everything. So the website also will take you to whatever venue you're going to, whether it's domestic or international. Those websites usually have a link. And for example, like if you're going to Japan for the Olympics, they have a website that you click on, and it says Japan Country information, and then that you can find out all about the country. It tells you average temperature, rain, location. It tells you in and everything that you need to know. Like say for example, with Japan, they have a CDC page on COVID-19. It tells you day to day, you know, what's going on and what you need to do to take care of that kind of information to do that. And you can do the same thing here in the States with everything that we're doing. from state to state, the interstate travel requirements, what you can do, what you can't do. It's an endless list of what needs to be done. But again, the point is being organized. For example, we're going to talk a little bit about feed here real quick. If you're feeding your horse a certain feed, you want to be sure that that horse stays, on that certain feed. And that's why we're talking about companies like Hallway Feed, for example, in Lexington, Kentucky. They're both domestic and international. If you have a horse that's on a certain type of feed that you've purchased from Hallway Feed, you call the folks at Hallway Feed or go to their website, and they will make sure that you get your feed no matter where you're at. They will put you in touch with the dealer. They will put you in touch with a lot of different things that you can do. And so if you just try to get organized, it'll work. It'll work for you. And, same thing with hay and same thing with equine transportation. Your equine transportation that you have, you can call. And I found, and I've been in the equine transportation business, and I found that if you call a carrier, for example, and that carrier, does all your local business, here in the States, if they do that, then they can help you. And most of them, most of the carriers will, if they don't cover that area, most of the carriers will know or recommend somebody in that area that's qualified, and that will be able to service you. So we'll be able to do that, with your daily routine or schedules that you do. And the other thing is veterinarians. If you get with your local veterinarian that takes care of your local business, he can suggest people that and doctors and clinics so forth that are in that area that can help you, that you can go to with confidence that, the service that you get from him is going to be just as good if you got that you have now. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to, stress is get organized. If you're going to be, let's say, for example, if you're going from Delray Beach, Florida to Lexington, Kentucky, if you contact your transportation company, they will be able to help you do what you need to do to get there. It's very important that you have veterinarian information, transportation information to get you covered while you're on the road. If you go to usrider.com, they have a great program. They can help you with travel information. They can help you with any and everything that you need to do. If your vehicle breaks down or your trailer breaks down, they'll help you. If they need a place to lay over and overnight a horse, wherever you're at, they'll be able to help you. And so, those are the kind of things that you got to start putting together and formulate your own, information booklet. I couldn't tell you how many times that I was traveling, that every time I traveled, I had a book with me, shipping the horses, like gas stations that I, stopped at. Where was there a quarantine station or an ag station that if I needed help, I could go to? Veterinarians along the way from here to Lexington. You try to do find a vet every 100 miles. And, it takes a little bit of time, but if you go through and just write down the numbers, you can travel safe and with a clear mind that know that if you get in a jam, that there's somebody you can call that's within 100 miles of you, to do that. That's what we're trying to do, with this whole thing. And so, like I said, it's the way you organize yourself it's plan your trips properly when you're going on your trip. Plan lodging along the way. You might not be going to stay. Let's say, for example, if we're shipping from Delray Beach, Florida to Lexington, the first thing that I do is you kind of pick your spots. We know we're going through Ocala on the way to Lexington, so I'm about 3 hours away. So I know that's a safe venue right there. Any and everything that I need can be done there. And then the next thing that I do is I plan for hotels. And so I'll write down a hotel in Ocala, and then my next one would be Valdosta, Georgia, which is a few more hours up the road, and then Perry, Georgia, and then you're looking at Macon and Atlanta and, Nashville and Chattanooga, so forth. So, every 100 miles or so, plan, a stop. If you have to stop, what hotel do I go to? What restaurants do they have? Are there any veterinarians, in that locality? That's what you need to do. But it's all getting organized. And like I said, it's the way you want to organize it and how you want to do it. Now, like I put on my trip, the different fuel stations that I can stop at. One of the great things is like there's a Flying J, just about any and everywhere that you can go to. And so that helps a lot because Flying J usually has access to mechanics and they have food and housing is usually close to them or, motels, that type of thing. And so it really does help, to know where those things are at. Because if you can get to a Flying J or, a Petro, that type of thing, you can get, mechanical work done. And once again, it's all organization, my friend. It's how you do it. Get into that routine, that daily routine, whenever you're traveling with your horses. And if, make sure you got plenty of feed, that you're taking with you, for at least 2 days to feed your horse. When you ship, you don't have to be taking a week's worth. And that's a lot of mistake. A lot of things people make mistake with, when you're traveling. They load their trailers up full of, 500 pounds worth of feed and, 300 pounds worth of hay. And, that's really not necessary to do because if you get with the right companies, like Hallway Feed, for example, they'll give you a vendor in that area you're going to get their feed. And so you got to remember, you got to think weight when you're pulling your trailer. If you take a 2 days feed worth of feed for your horses, each horse, 2 days worth of hay for each horse, you're in pretty good shape. Because that gives you time enough to get adjusted where you're at to get what you need to get done. Any more than that, you're just wasting fuel money, you're wasting time and effort and labor, to be doing something that you don't need to be doing. When it's simple is the best way to go, with the horses that you have there. The other thing is, too, is like when we were going to Japan with horses and to Hong Kong with horses, we always would take water from the farm that we were at. And, for example, we're just going to use this as an example. If we're only going to be gone, the trip's only, let's say, 12 hours long, what we would do is we would take a 5-gallon container, and we would use that to start off with. And then when we made our first stop to water the horses, we would cut part of that 5 gallons of water into the water that we were getting at whatever location we were at. And we'd kind of acclimate them in slowly, to what they're doing, with everything. And so that's always important, to make sure that you got water with you and things of that nature. When you're transporting the horses. And then you can get the recommended medications that would be over the counter that might be able to assist you if a horse gets hurt on your trip. Make sure you put together a little veterinarian medical kit. Of course, naturally, you're not going to be able to take injectables with you. You know, you got to go into the rules and guidelines of each state and, you know, the transportation, you know, requirements that what you're allowed to carry when you're shipping a horse like that. But get with your local vet, and he'll recommend a first aid kit for your horses, what you need, and that type of thing. And also remember, take a first aid kit for yourself and your employees, in case anything happens, along the way, they get cut or stepped on or, what have you. Make sure you do that. And then also make sure that you take a little bit of water and some snacks for yourself on the trip in case you break down, that type of thing. So it's all about organization. There's so many things, hundreds and hundreds of things that we're talking about today that you need to just sit down and make a list of what you think would be right for yourself, to do your day. And then the next thing you do is you have a friend or, somebody that you know very well, look at the list and say, hey, did I miss anything or did I put too much on here? You know, kind of get a second opinion on your list that you have. But the main thing is to start out your day on a regular basis. Like in the thoroughbred business, and to this day, I've been out of the business for six plus years now of actively being on the racetrack. And to this day, I still get up at 4:30 in the morning. It's a lifelong habit that I can't break. I get up at 4:30 and I have to be to work here at Sunshine Meadows at 7 in the morning. And I'm up at 4:30. And I tell you, it's kind of an interesting morning. Because by the time 7 o'clock rolls around, you're getting tired again. You're ready to go back to bed, but that doesn't happen in there. But you'll find a time and a schedule for what you're doing, on a daily basis. Make sure that you get consistent with the purchases of the things that you need on the farm. For example, like shavings. About how often you order shavings, feed, hay, that type of thing. What time schedule, get that scheduled on a regular basis. The blacksmith, you have to have your charts for the blacksmith and you get organized and you have a calendar where you put up, the blacksmith will be on here Thursday, the 14th, at 2 o'clock. And make sure that you have somebody there that can assist the blacksmith and holding the horses and bringing the horses back. And also make sure that you have somebody there that can relay any information that the blacksmith might need to discuss with you on the on shoeing of the horse, that type of thing. And that's very important. And then one of the most crucial things and the most important things that you can do at your farm or in your business, at the racetrack, the showgrounds, or whatever, is when you get deliveries of products and items that you need, make sure that they come and they're not coming during training hours. They're not coming when, you're involved with the horse as far as training and things of that nature. Because if something needs to be discussed, you need to have the deliveries being made to where that there's a time frame that you can say, I need to have my shavings here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and make sure you have somebody there to inspect those shavings, to make sure they're quality and that it's the proper amount. And same thing with the feed. When you have a feed delivery, make sure you have somebody check the bags of feed for expiration dates. Make sure that they checked the feed and make sure it's the right product that you ordered. That type of thing. That's one of the things that's really important to getting your horses to the winner's circle or to a national or world championship. you need to do that. Organization is the most easiest thing in the world to do. It takes about a day or two of your time to sit down and go over your day and mark it down, what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, you know, that type of thing. One of the things that that I used to do at the farm, we'll take, say, for example, daylight savings time. When daylight savings time started rolling around, you know, it's just, boom, you're an hour back, and then all of a sudden it's dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock, you know, like here on the East Coast. So what we would used to do is 30 days before the change of time, we would adjust our feed schedules by 5 minutes a day, is what we would do. We would go along with the light, because the light has a lot to do with your horses, especially if you're in the breeding industry. You know, it's really tough. A lot of people go to fluorescent lighting and kind of adjust their systems that way. But that's what we, you know, we would do, things like that. And again, like I said, it's all part of the organization of what you do. You got to sit down and get into that think tank about your business and about your life and what you do and how you do it and when you do it. It's all organization. And just get your legal pad out, start writing, start talking to your employees, your farm management, and, you know, see what needs to be done. And the only thing I can say about what we've just talked about is, remember, horsemen, this comes from an old-timer. Not me, but an old-timer. Everything that you do, how you run your operation, got to remember one thing. To a horseman, the eye don't lie. The eye don't lie. When you walk onto a farm, a horseman can look without saying a word, and he knows how that farm's run, he knows how well it's run, and he knows the quality of care that those horses are getting. The eye don't lie. You can't do anything about that, you know, and so just remember that. And also, that's one of the things that, you know, that you have to put onto your sheet. So get organized. Organize it the way you want it, how you would like to have it, and make that list. Make your book up. Make a standard operating procedure that you can use and give to all your friends, all your family, all your workers, and let them know exactly how good you are. And remember, when they see your SOP, they see what you're doing, just remember, the eye don't lie, and they'll be so proud of you. Now, we're going to jump in here to Flying Turns for here for a little bit. That's our standard bred show. And we have coming up here on Flying Turns the Dam Patch Awards. It's a virtual show this Saturday. If you go to, it'll be on Facebook, it'll be on the Harness Riders Association, you know, that's a really a good thing to go to and watch, because it takes you right there just as if you were there. It's going to be a good one to see. If you go to www.facebook.com/ U.S. Harness Riders, it will get you right to the show live. I'll take you to the show live. And this is a really good show every year. They finally figured out a way how to get, you know, the awards out. And, you know, to be honest with you, they'll probably have more people watching than they would actually attending, you know, the award ceremonies. And it makes it nice, because you can get there and watch it, and you know, you're not going to miss out on anything, no matter where you're at. The finalists for the human wards and broodmares here, I kind of grouped them together. Driver of the year is Dexter Dunn and David Miller. Owner of the year is Kevart Farms and Crawford Farms and Penske Stables. Breeders, Brittany Farms, ordered by Stable, and run the table stable for Breeder of the Year. Trotting brood mares are Denoto, Nantab, Margarita Mama, and Steamy Windows that are there. And then pacing brood mares are Beachy Girl, Great Memories, JK, She's a Lady, and Swingin' Beauty. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if you go to the website and you can, you'll be able to see, you know, who's doing what, you know, in there, that type of thing. We got all this information at Harness Link. Harness Link is a great website to go to. Harness Link takes you anywhere in the world, any country, any racetrack, and it tells you exactly what's going on, you know, at, from via Harness Link. And you can see everything right there at Harness Link. It's www.harnesslink.com that they have there that'll be going with it. And again, back to like I was saying about the different associations and things that you need to do. And same thing on Flying Turns and the harness industry. The best way to find out anything is to go to U.S. Trotting Association. They're at 6130 South Sunbury Road in Westerville, Ohio, 43081. And if you go there, they got it all, my friend. They got it all. They have a departmental phone and email directory. And on that directory, they have any and everything that you could want. And what I like about this directory is sometimes associations kind of throw a buffer in there so you can't get to, you know, all the executives and the management end of it. But at USTA, they go through every department, and they'll tell you who to get a hold of and what they do. For example, we'll take human resources. If you go and click on there, it takes you to Jennifer Blau, 3205. That's her extension, and it takes you right to her. And she can help you with anything that you need to know, you know, about the human resources end of it. They've got the executive vice president. You know, they've got it all right there. And got their extension numbers and their names and what they do and, you know, how to get a hold of them. The one thing that I like about this website is you don't have to be a horseman to, you know, go to it because it has a lot of different things available, you know, on there. They've got racing information. They got membership services, news, horseman, handicap, life after racing, videos, horse search, you know, new to racing. That's a real good one to go to. You click on new to racing and you find out, you know, what you need to do. And again, it goes back to that information system. You know, it'll send you to whoever you need to talk to and whatever you need to do to get involved with, you know, the harness industry, whether it's, you know, a fan or whether it's, you know, an owner, you know, that type of thing. So that's a good one to go to, ustrotting.com or ustrotting.com. So that's a good one. Now, guys, we're going to get into some of the thoroughbreds business here today. At Keeneland, they started the Keeneland sales this year. It started on the 11th, and they had a strong opening session that set the tone for Keeneland January sales. I tell you what, I was surprised, you know, for the first of the year and the COVID. But I think that we're kind of like getting away from the COVID and we're getting in more into a normal life, especially here in Florida. You know, it's, we know that the COVID's there. We still use the mask rule, you know, but it's helping us out a little bit. But unfortunately for us, this was at the Keeneland January sales. They had a total of 207 horses from 302 horses that were offered on Monday that went through the ring. The gross receipts on it was $12,155,400. and the average was 58,722. The medium was 35,000. The 95 horses that did not attend their reserve represented an RNA rate of 31.5%. So it held steady, and that's pretty much what it, you know, what it's been over the years at Kingland. That's a good, strong, you know, showing for the first day, at Kingland. So that's telling us that the industry's starting to look good. And it's good for racing because people are buying. And if they're buying, then they're going to be racing. And, you know, and if they're going to be racing, then they're going to be breeding. And then if they're breeding, they're going to be coming back to the sales again. So it's just kind of a big loop, an endless, rotation of the business. And so it's strong. And that's what really helps out, you know, us at the racetrack and the things that we do, for the sales. And if you go to our last call, that jerked you in the right direction to where you're going. And then today, the trade remained steady for day three of the Kingland sale. So that was really a good sign for day three. On day three, they had 255 horses that exchanged hands. Wednesday, they had 315 offered for receipts of $4,378,300, an average of $17,170. The medium was $7,000 there. So that was kind of nice to see, that it keeps on going. At the conclusion of, on Wednesday, they had a total of 935 horses offered and changed hands for the gross receipt of $40,397. It had changed hands, and that's good. You know, that's good. That shows that everything is strong, you know, for our industry, and the sales keep going on, and they're all over the world. The Magic Million sales that is going on in Australia now, they're going through the roof there, and so that shows you that it's it's not just a U.S. thing; it's an international thing. Because a lot of those horses don't come out of Australia to race here in the States. Some of them go to Europe, but it just shows you how strong the racing industry and the breeding industry is in Australia. The Magic Millions, it's unbelievable that they have there. And so now we just talked about the Kingland sales. The Fazek Tipton releases the February Winter Mix catalog. They have 580 entries for the catalog in the Winter Mix on February 8th and 9th in Lexington. It'll be 10 a.m. daily at Fazek Tipton. Hits number 1 through 324 will be offered during the Monday session. Hits 325 through 580, followed by the supplemental catalog, will be offered on Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday, February 8th and 9th in Lexington at the Fazek Tipton Winter Mix sales. So you're looking at a lot of horses. We're going to see how this will compare to Kingland and to other sales that are going on and just find out, how strong the market's going to be. It should be just as strong for the February as it has been in January. Here in the States. Now we're going to get into At the Wire a little bit here. Samsung Dispersal Parade marks the end of an era. I tell you, Samsung's been around a long time. They started in 1972. They're just an amazing farm, breeding farm. Sad to see it happen, but every farm has a lifespan, and theirs was quite good. They made a good run at it with what they did. They had some real nice horses at Samsung. I tell you, it's going to be kind of sad because, everybody, if you had a Samsung red horns, you had a lot of value to it. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, for 18 years, how did they do what they did? I tell you, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see them leaving now. One of the things that I remember about Sansome, in Canada and the U.S., they were strong in what they did and what they built. Just to give you an example, founded in 1972, Ernest Samuel, the farm spans two properties, one in Milton, Ontario, and the other in Ocala, Florida. And the operation was built for a legacy of success. They had 84 sovereign award winners, dozens of graded stakes winners, 37 Canadian Classic winners, 4 Eclipse Award winners, and what came to as a surprise to industry, the Samuel family announced in 2020 that they were ceasing operations. When you have success like that, it's hard to, you know, to stop what you're doing. Very difficult. They're going to be sorely missed in the business, that's for sure. So Samsung is leaving us. Who's going to replace it? Maybe it'll be here in the United States. Real quick on here, at the wire and how they get there, our documentary, how they get to the 2021 Kentucky Derby. We have a large field this week. It's at the fairgrounds. It's LeComet Stakes. It's a grade 3 post times at 5:50 p.m. We have a field going of 11 horses, and it is loaded to the hilt. We have at Steve Asmussen. We have Dallas Stewart, Mark Cassie. We have a whole load of great horses in here. Brad Cox has got a nice horse in there, so he's looking good. But if you go to our website, you'll be able to see it on Saturday at 5:30. It'll be our race of the week. It also qualifies for the Kentucky Derby this year with all the points. It's a $200,000 added for 3-year-olds and a mile and a 16th. And, again, most of the races leading up to the Derby, with exception of the Breeders' Cup, have been 5-6-horse fields. Now we have an 11-horse field. And it's going to be very interesting to see how these horses come out of it. And this is a good prep race for the Louisiana Derby there at the fairgrounds coming up this spring. But it's, like I said, it's $200,000 for 3-year-olds up a mile and 16th. And you do qualify for the Derby in this one. And then next week, we're going to go into our Kentucky Derby top 10. And I tell you, it's going to be an interesting one because every week it has changed. Every week it has changed with the different horses that we have. We still have a Central Quality at the top of the list for Brad Cox. Todd Pletcher has a very good horse. He's here at Palm Beach Downs where we work at. He is a Prime Factor. Prime Factor was a $900,000 yearling, displayed excellent speed and kept on motoring to widen his margin 8 3/4 lengths when he ran the last time out. This horse can really run. We're going to see just how good he is. But the Central Quality and Prime Factor are the top two horses. We're going to see just exactly how it comes out, and keep following. So that'll be on our next week's show that we have there. And my best horse, Hot Rod Charlie, when he came up in the rankings, but he ran at 94-1 odds. And he was really, really good. So that'll be all next week. And boy, I rambled on so much and got so lost. You're so confused now and everything. I tell you, I don't know where to go with it. But what we were trying to say today is organize yourself, get on a daily schedule, get it all on paper, get all the pertinent information, phone numbers and everything that you need, and put that big phone number on there. If you need any information and any help, any questions answered, call us here at International Equine Network, 561-466-1272, or go to our email, msntv2019@gmail.com, or go to ientv.org. Folks, we can't wait to hear from you. Have a good week. Thank you for tuning in to International Equine Network.